Does he have to touch it?
No.
Oh, wait.
Okay.
Hey, guys, while we're getting organized, just a reminder for those of you who need to pick up kids, 9 o'clock is your pickup time. So we're probably going to be done here around 8:35-ish. And try not to eat too much of the time, Nazi, because what you're hearing is pretty important. 9 o'clock. So linger, maybe we'll visit, and then 9 o'clock pick them up. Same thing in the middle of the day. Noon is your pickup time. Okay? I'll remind you again later.
Andy, do you want to put this on him? So that
yeah.
I guess that just clips on.
Is that a little clip? Give
right
us,
here.
Put
right
in
here.
Your shirt pocket. Look at that. This guy. Oh, there's my tech guy. Yeah.
How we do?
Is it on? No, the power.
Ed,
how's it? Oh, there
you go. Huh?
Yeah, you're good. You're live.
You're live now? Yeah, just listen to her. Dana, is this on this part?
Yeah.
It's recording. It's recording right now? Goodness.
Okay.
Oh, it's a nice looking audience.
This is not an audience. This is our living room.
Oh, okay. This is why we sit this way, because our favorite way to do this is like at the fireplace, you know, sitting on the fireplace, talking to people, so we have a lot of that. In the wintertime particularly. I think for Donna and I, this is our most comfortable way just to sit. This is working all right. This is work.
We don't use a whole new part of
quite a story from Jersey, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Great story. Well, Moax team invited us to talk tonight about children and grandchildren and adult children and how we dealt with them. You all may know we have 24, 25 people, 26 people.
13 grandchildren, 5 great-grandchildren, 4 children. And we've been married 50 years.
So I thought it would be good to go back to kind of the genesis of how all this happened. And of course we know it was Lord Jesus that did it, but also we were kind of involved with it also. So it was late in our life, 37, for me, not 8 years younger, that she worked for a guy that was a Christian businessman, called himself that. I thought when she came home and told me that that was the question. I asked one of the questions I asked her was, does he wear robes? So that gives you an idea where I was. So, through that process, I began reading the Bible and through a number of other ways, we actually, within a short period of time, both of us trusted Christ with our life. And I'm not going to tell you the story of all that, but I'm picking it up at that point. And all of a sudden, somehow, they invited us to a retreat, these people that were watching us. And we went to a retreat, and while I was there, I met a guy named Joe. And Joe was an old Navy guy. And he was a baseball player. call me Rappy. You know, baseball players, they call each other like Baggy, whatever the name is, they talk like that, you know. Jonesy, who is an E, you know, Jonesy, this is Rappy. They call me Rappy all the time, so I'll use that a little bit tonight. We're talking about him. But he was a big guy, he was an interesting guy, and he invited me to lunch, and he asked me if I would like to, I talked to him about this thing called Operation Timothy, and I wasn't too sure about him, about where he was, but I thought, well, I don't know anything about the Bible, so maybe this would be a good idea, so I gave it a shot. So he began meeting with me at lunch, and he gave me a book, and I filled the book out. I liked it, continued on, and I liked him. And he was from, he talked the same way I did. He was from Northeast, you know. So we could keep going together, and it went really good. So we spent 2 years together, and he taught me things that I didn't know. He was a businessman, this was all business then, but he got connected with me. And so when I finished the 2 years that it took me to go through Operation Timothy, he looked at me and he said, Rassi, he said, you are now in the top 10 percentile of all the Bible students in the world. He said, Joe. And 2 years, 2 years in this, and you saw me on the top 10 percentile? He said, yeah. He said, nobody knows anything about the Bible. People don't know anything about the Bible. Even the people who go to churches don't know anything about the Bible. You're in the top 10%. I'm telling you, I didn't believe that. You know, but he believed it. And I found out later that he was right. But when people don't know anything about the Bible. So I said, well, Joe, what do I do from here? He said, well, I don't know. Right, we'll just do with the piece like you say. I'll put a little group together, maybe some other guys, and then we'll start meeting with those other guys too. And now, so I think I need to go to Bible school because I don't know enough about the Bible yet. He said, I've only been 2 years, I don't know that much. I want to know the Bible. And he said, no, he said, that's not going to be the best thing for you. You need to do that here. Do it with me. I'll set up the deal for you. So I said, okay. So, we put about six guys together. We started meeting. Within, I think, 4 weeks, it was me and Joe. So they were not faithful men. They were just guys that we put together. So I said, I told you, Joe, it's not going to work. He said, I'm going to go to Bible school. He said, where are you going? I said, I'm going to go to Rhode Island. He said, Rhode Island? And I said, I got a house up there. I'm going to go to Bible school up there around. He said, there's a Bible school in Rhode Island? I said, well, I haven't looked yet, but I'm assuming there is. And I said, there's no Bible schools up there. In fact, this is not what you want to do. I want to put a group together. Okay. We'll give me another shot. So I said, okay, one more shot. That's it, Joe. So he goes, okay. So he puts these three guys together. We start meeting in his basement. It was these three guys were like commandos. I mean, they're like, I remember that a few verses, but these guys, they were serious guys. So we began a meeting, and this one guy said that he would like to get me alone and get some time with me, so they wanted me to have lunch. So we had lunch. And he started asking questions like, what do you want to see when you're all finished with your life? I don't know. I haven't thought about that very much. He said, well, it's probably a good time to start thinking about that. He said, when you get to heaven, he said, what are you going to tell God that you did down here? I said, I don't know. He said, well, you're a pedestal, right? I said, yeah. He said, you want to tell me you're going to hit you did? Million and a half tennis ball? No. That's not what I told him. He said, well, what do you want to tell him? they want. I guess I think I would like to have some other people find out what I found out, what happened to me, and then maybe at the end of my life, a whole bunch of people might be there because of my life. And he said, well, he said, that's good. He said, I think you need to stop considering the purpose of your life, why you're here. Okay, so I began giving some thought. And then I would forget it, I forget it. You know, and then he'd write me to dinner, in his wife, the next one. He's got a pen and pencil out, and he's writing things down, you know, about this topic. So, okay. I think I'll do that. So he goes, well, here's what you got to do. You got to do it with your wife. He said, because she's part of the deal. And he said, what you want to do is get your wife and together and go out, take her out to dinner, and maybe do a show. Get a hotel room. And he got the hotel room, and he said, and then the next morning, get up and get a piece of paper, and you could read it, and start talking about this topic. He said, you know, this is a very important topic, because you're going to have to deal with your wife. I said, okay, so I went home, and, I talked to another guy, and I was telling him about this guy. He said, what do you think about it? Another, the other guy in the group, he said, well, he's right. He said, I'll tell you what I'll do. He said, just keep going. I'll pay for the hotel room if your life doesn't change in the next 60 days. Pretty good deal, but I got a free hotel room. Take my wife out, you know, and that probably worked out pretty good. So, okay, so I went back to get to Dale and said, yeah, I'm going to do it. I'll do it. So I come home and invite Donna. So I'm going to take you out on a date, and I told her about the whole thing that was taking place and what I'm going to do. So I got a nice hotel. Good night. I'm at dinner, you know, we had dinner together. A lot of good things happened. I was feeling really good. This guy's all right, you know, and he's my kind of guy. So we get up the next morning, and we started talking about, and he had told me that what you want to do is get 200 years out. Your life is over, 200 years out. And then what you do is you look back at your life and you see what you want to see when you die, when it's finished. And whatever you plan now, you give 100% to for the rest of your life. And I'm telling you, I'll guarantee you, that's how it's going to come out. Because that's what God will do. You know why? He said, no. He said, the reason why is that God said he will give you the desires of your heart. In Psalm 34. Whatever your heart is, whatever you want, he'll give you. I believe the Bible, so I believe the scripture, so I said, okay, well, that's good. So anyway, so then we get up the next morning, and we started talking about this topic, what do we want to see? And together, we had both come to Christ within probably 35, 36 years old, in that neighborhood. She's 8 years younger, so we were at the same school. So we wrote all these things out, and we decided that we would put this down on paper, and then I'd go back and talk to each other if it was taking place. So I came up with what's called the life purpose. And I'm going to throw that up on the screen. You can take it there for a minute. And there are 6 points to it. And the 6 points, I only put two. This is the first two. Now notice the verses, which is Jeremiah 9. And we kind of look at that verse together. What do you think that verse is saying? Just think about it. I was very, very wrapped up in the first three. I just read on a piece of paper for me to look at. But somebody stole a paper.
What?
He lost it.
And I said, you should write it down again, because if you try to do it on your phone, you'll never find it.
Hey, you have a good time. I have a good time. I'll say. So, he says, he makes this statement in the script. God makes this statement. God is just amazing the way he says things. He says, the rich guy, he talked about the rich guy, the wise guy, and what's the other guy?
The
what?
The mighty guy.
So, the three. If you can label those three kind of guys, okay. So, then he says, if you're going to glory in something, glory in this, if you understand and know me, and I am the Lord, which exercises loving kindness, judgment, and righteousness in all the world. And then he says this, what? What do you think? Yeah. For these things I delight. I delight in these things. So I read that and I said, you mean I could delight God? You could be delighted with me? What do you think about that? So I said, that's going to be my life first. So this became my life first. Is that I could understand and know God. And I can sit here and tell you right now, after so many years, that I understand and know God. Now, the other three have kind of faded away. But these three, it's true. So all these things that he put me into, and these guys told me, these commandments, I knew what they were doing, and what they were talking about. So, can you imagine understanding and knowing God? So then we took 6 points. We put the 6 points down. And the first point, to know him increasingly. That means that this is going to increase as time goes along. So it's not something that's going to end. It's not something I'm going to get to, because we can never know God perfectly. But as far as I was going to be able to increase in the knowledge of him. And then when we reflected in our relationships with our husband, relationships with my husband, with our wife, the children, and other people. So this was our number one. Number two, that we would have an increasingly awareness that all circumstances of our life are allowed by God. That we may grow in the experiences of living day to day. So, the first one, now I didn't put the other five down because I wanted to go to move through this. This is something you may want to do yourself, but you can figure it out yourself also as far as how you will do this. But the knowledge that we have would be reflected in our children and our friends and our disciples and everything else. This would be a reflection of our life. And then the second one, to have an increasing awareness that all circumstances of our lives are allowed by God, that we may grow by the experiences, and that every experience that we have comes from Him. What do you think that does to you? That is so life-changing. See, because anything that comes up, I'm Paul's father, by the way. This is Paul's mother. What do you think that was? I love my son. But we had some hard years. I mean, we're taking these circumstances and we're saying, when they came up, I mean, we had some trauma at times, but we believe that God had put us in this for our good. So it was easier for us than it would be for most people. And So it's just a, it was a situation where we were growing with this, with God, as He was moving in us through that process of Him and many others that we've had. So, you know, life is just hard, you know. I mean, I don't know, all of us have been through it. We listen, just listen to Tracy. We listen to one another. If you get into people's lives, it's hard. And to do it, you've got to have some kind of a plan or something to help you to move through. And then that's a major, major thing. So if you look at that for a second, we wrote it out, 6 bullet points, and God had a part, and we had a part, and this was intentional on our part. So God liked, what do you think God thought about this? Let's put it that, let's talk about that for a minute. What do you think He thought about it? Good, bad?
Delighted.
Delighted. He was delighted with it. He loved it. See, because, but it was a battle to get to it. I mean, these people, these commandos, had to really fight me to get this done. And I'm not sure any of you will get it done. But I'm encouraging you to think about it, because this will happen, and it'll end up. Whatever you want, whatever you, as a believer, when God says, I'll give you the desires of your heart, that's what it means. Well, it means He loves you that much. So this is the process that He will have you in. Now, Donna here, had I tried to do this alone, I would have failed miserably, because she is a tremendous support to this. She's a servant. She's loved me. She's been walked alongside of me. She's affirmed just about everything I do. We've grown together in it. Our love for each other. I love this woman. I wake up every morning. I can't wait to see her. I can't wait to set my eyes on her. This is all from God. And this thinking of this purpose. Because this is what we laid it out in front of Him. And this is what God does. So my life is continuing to get better as I'm getting close to dying. I've only got, my uncle lived till he was 101. She keeps reminding me that. She thinks I'm going to be here forever. I don't remember. I'm in the top, the last 10%. So, I mean, that's how I see my life. It's great. It just gets better as I go. So, it's quite an amazing thing. We have these children. We have a blended family. We put these children together. We have these, how many do we see?
4 kids.
How many people in this family do we have?
Oh, I don't know. They keep changing.
25 people. So it keeps growing. I mean, not as many children, but more and more people. But our children, you should laugh at me, but I was just as bad as I am.
Well, it's a new gadget.
It should be on.
So in raising our children, the small children, one of the things that she did was she would teach them the verses, the Bible verses, by singing in songs. So today was really interesting for us, because when Paul talked about Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, how did you tell him?
Do you remember how you learned that?
But sing the Lord with all your heart, and lean not upon your own understanding, and all your ways acknowledge Him. He will direct your path. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6.
So, see, this didn't start yesterday. So it starts with your children. In other words, the journey has been terrible, but the end result That's too much. So, when God is not over, not over God, not over. But the children, in other words, the children, if you impart to the children and speak the Bible verses in them like that, they begin getting them in the heart, and the seed of the Word of God starts getting in them with the young. And then they start growing and in the relationship with Christ at some point. So this is just one of the ways that you become your children. The other one is, with our young children, is that we don't see happening very much, is that we have dinner together almost every night, together. And when we raised our children, we would meet, as long as we could get them there, you know, after a while, you lose them in the teen years, but we would have dinner almost every night. If they had something going, we'd know. But it was a family thing. And we had a lot of discussions and a lot of talk at the table. And I saw that as being a huge value. And I think people lose that, you know. But our culture today is kind of like dogs. You know, you kind of call up somebody, they make some food, and you go someplace else and get some food, you grab some food here. I mean, the whole thing is lost as far as families being together, raising children. So I think that's one of the things that's really been really helpful to us. Grandchildren, my grandchildren at this point, as they get into the teens, we kind of did the same thing with them. As we get into the teens, what I'm finding with my grandchildren is that they really like to get to know me, and I'm spending intentional time with most of them. And when I'm with them, in order for me to get them, to get teenagers to talk, I have to let them know who I am. So even though I'm their grandfather, and I'm this Jesus guy, they've got to see me as an individual person who has a life. So I begin telling them about my life, and I open my life to them. And my life has been rather ugly at times. A lot of ugliness. So when they listen to it, they're very interested. The teenagers in particular. And I had one of them say to me recently, I came for walks in the park. I do different things with different ones, depending on what they like. But one of them likes to walk and go to the park. She likes both. And so she...
I got to say something. Yeah. She talked about bugs once, so they assumed that she likes bugs. And she told her mom the other day, we go to the park, but hey, wants to talk about bugs. I don't know what to talk about bugs on. I should have told you that earlier.
Yeah. She said to me, she said, I love it when you tell me about how you found Christ. That's what she said. So, I tell her, I give her a little snippet, you know, and then I say, okay, now next time I'll tell you some more. So then I said, now where did we leave? Where did we leave off last time? She'll tell me a little bit more. Then I'll tell her a little bit more. And so, our relationship is developing for that. So, last time we met, I said, you know, I'm getting tired. I'm telling you all this stuff about me, not hearing anything about you. She said, okay, next time I'll tell you about me. So to stay updated with them, you almost have to trigger them to get them where you want them so they talk, you know, because they're all bothered up inside, and they can't hardly say anything to each other. So
we also take them on hot days.
Yeah, I got one that likes to go to Costco and like a migrant. We all want to go to
samples. He doesn't even have a Costco card. He just peruses the audience, the aisles, and eats samples.
So finding out which one, what they like, and I just try to come alongside and do it. And we've done that, of course, we pray for them. Fairly regularly with all of our grandchildren and our children. So, but living with them, learning to live with them and understanding the way, I think is, we don't pop Jesus all over the place. In other words, we don't We don't have the Bibles out everywhere. We try to get into their life and then let them see how we live and who we are, and then try to impart Christ to them as they go along, so that little by little by little. It's not something that you jam into people. It's not a jam. Walt Henderson, I used to say, I will never bore my children with the Bible. How's that? You have to think about that one. But you know, when he first said it, I said, I don't know about that, you know. He's right. You don't want to bore them with the Bible. You want them to see your life and to feel your love and to love those children and then impart graciously the scriptures little by little to them. That's what they receive. Any else, John?
Well, I was just thinking that every child, your own and grandchildren too, they all come out with their own bents. And we don't know how it's going to turn out. But we just have to keep loving them where they are at the time that we have with them. But we're trusting that God is going to do something, even in those children that we don't see it happening today. But we just have to go along the journey with them.
A few years ago, we decided that Christmas was terrible. We just get all this stuff, Christmas and trees and getting all the presents, and everybody just sits there for 3 hours. It's almost embarrassing. It's really embarrassing for us. So we decided what we're going to do is get a house. We rent a house for Christmas. And all the families invited to the house, and that's the Christmas present. And we all come together and they buy food. Last year we went to many of the guys from Pine Lodge. We leased all the Pine Lodge, and everybody was there. They call it, even though it's a different place, a lot of times they call it the holiday house. And they talk about it all year. And is that true? Yeah, so they talk about it, their kids talk about it all year. All the grandkids and all the kids, they talk about it. The holiday house. We did that at the holiday house.
What's a great place not only for us to get to know them, but for them to spend time with their cousins and aunts and uncles and really bonds. I hope it bonds the family.
Now this is the fruit of a decision that was made. This is what I'm trying to get through to you also. It was made together intentionally before the war, and he has worked this thing out because of that decision. I think that purpose decision is all wrapped up in it. So, what are you going to do? There's no place to go for me. said, you've got the words of eternal life. I'm going to you. I'm hanging to you. So these people, they hung together, and they were together, and they were called disciples. And we've got all kinds of names for them now. Christians, what kind of followers. There's only really one name for someone that belongs to Christ. They're a disciple. That means they're a learner. They belong to Him. So he says some things about disciples that he says some good things and he says some really hard things. So I thought I'd talk to you tonight about two hard things because they're kind of critical also in the raising of family or the children. And two verses. You know, the calling that he calls to men, he calls men to love their wives. And he calls women to respect their husbands. And he calls the children to obey their parents. So this is kind of a circular thing. This is what should be happening in the family. So if the husband is loving the wife, she would respect the husband. And then the children will usually fall in line. So, and it doesn't take a lot. When we go to a holiday house, and this pretty much goes on in the family. You know, we don't have, at the holiday house, I'm not sure I've seen a fight among the children, all the children.
You don't?
They don't. Yeah. Now and then. And they will jump in. Not much of anything, really, but with the children, nothing. I was raised in a house. I don't know how you guys were raised, but I was raised in a house. What the hell? I mean, my three boys, and we just fought. And my father fought, and my mother fought with him. It was like a big fight, just like the Tracy fight. You see, in this family, I give this is the glory of God. I mean, they don't even fight. I look at it, you know, I look at it, and I just think, what is this? You know? And they treat each other, they give to each other, they help each other. It's crazy. And it's because, to go back again to the purpose. So if the men love their wives, and the women respect their husbands, the children fall into line. And this is what Jesus said. Now, this is kind of read a couple of verses to you before I close. But first one is Luke 14:26. I'm going to put this up on the screen so I can read it to you. 3 minutes of the 3 minutes. Okay, I can do it 3 minutes.
Those
3 minutes?
It's time for them to go home.
So, are any sermons? What's in?
I'll give you five.
Okay, five. Okay. Sorry, it's taking so long. Okay. Jesus was with his buddies one day, and all of them in there, and he said that. They came to him, and he put some of the disciples, and he says, look, he said, your mother and your brothers are standing outside, and they want to speak to you. And he answered, and he said to them, he said, who is my mother? And who are my brothers? And he stretched out his hand, like this, to his disciples. And he said, here are my mother and my brothers. For whoever does the will of my Father in heaven is my brother and my mother and my sister. So his mother's coming. This is his mother and his brothers. So what does this say? What does this say to you? That there is something more important to be with the disciples, more so than his own family. Interesting verse. And then, secondly, we're going to go to one other verse. This is in Luke 14. So now the great multitudes went with him, and he carried me and said to them, if anyone comes to me and does not hate his father and mother, his wife and children, his brothers and his sisters, yes, and his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. Pretty powerful statement. So what do you mean by that? He didn't mean hate. But Jesus spoke sometimes in ways that we really understand. So what he's saying, basically, the understanding is that if all of our attention is spent on our children, that he is left on the side. And this is most of the time, I used to have the question, why do Christians get divorced all the time? Why do they divorce? The reason is often because their affection and their relationship with Christ is not set on him first. So he wants us. He wants to live in us. He wants to be first in our life. And then he wants to take care of the rest, such as our children. So Christ is the one that takes care of our children, not us. In fact, they're not even our children. It is. So when you think about that, that's a whole different. We have a culture that actually worships children. They don't train them and teach them. They worship them. Christians, followers of Christ. So they have to be trained, and they have to be taught, and they have to be raised. We love them. But the body, who do you love? Jesus says, who do you love? Do you love me? And do you love those that are keeping my commandments? This is the people that you love too, probably. If you had an order, it would be them. And you don't hear that preached very much. That's the truth. So, keeping our eyes focused on him, and then allowing him to take care of the rest. He'll take care of your children. If you're taking care of his business, God's business, what he's interested in, and you're making disciples, and you're involving disciples of Christ, you take care of your kids. So, we're going to have a Q&A because I ran out of time. I'm sorry I talked so much.
Time for a couple of questions.
You're going to cover everything. I need one question.
Yes.
Paul wants to know who you're
married to. She's not here, so I can't.
What did she say? Question?
Who my favorite kid is.
Yeah,
Laura, my daughter, gave me a cup one Christmas or something, and it said, I love how we don't have to tell who your favorite child is. And he gets the cup and marks to it, but Paul. Oh.
Exactly the same. It doesn't change a word.
I don't think we quite knew what it meant sometimes when we talked about that we would accept the circumstances of our life in order to grow. We didn't know exactly what that meant. But it means there's going to be, there's another verse that talks about the fellowship of the suffering. So that's what it's been a lot. Thank you, Paul.
Yeah.
And others.
Were you ever
Were you ever not in agreement on how to address the struggles you were going through with the kids? And if so, how did you resolve that?
Well, sure, it was all struggles. I'm a fairly strong personality, and you know, I can be bossy. So, but I usually, you know, we try to be in agreement or just not do it. It's basically.
The kids can never drive wedges between us. Let's put it that way.
I don't think so.
No. So
what do you think? You think you can drive wedges between us?
I would say that yeah, there were probably
attempts.
Yeah.
There are attempts to do it.
Yeah. Oh, all the time. Yeah.
No. Having a lot of success in that probably.
No. He was discipled by Joe, and I was discipled by Gladys.
Okay.
And so we were pretty together on that. When we came to know the Lord, I just knew that we weren't going to just be bench warmers. I just knew. I didn't know what that meant, you know, but I just knew.
Depend on him. We should talk about depending on, oh, really. really. I mean, chasing the kid up and down the street, jumping over fences and trying to hook him to the rope and jumping up on the roof. I mean, you got, I'm depending on God for all this. You know, look at this mess I got down here, God. This is a mess. And so if I had to function with all that, I mean, you know, together, Don and I both, it was one thing after another. And I thought I was doing a great job, but, you know, at the time, it didn't look very good. You know what he said?
Yeah.
There
was a verse, train the child the way you should go, and then he's over in the park.
Yeah.
And I just really didn't like that verse very much, because I'm not, I wasn't seeing it, so. You want to pat me on the back? Okay. But in his time, that's all it meant. In his time. And if my kids had turned out, like, great, I would have taken a lot of credit, and I would have looked at it. People who struggled, I would have thought, we could just do it like we did it, and you wouldn't have these problems. And God had to show me that it's not really so. It's Him.
Thank you, guys. Well, I could keep listening and listening. Thank you. So one question I'm going to ask today, is it ever too late to do what they did? I just turned 61. I'm inspired. I heard him talk about this. I'm inspired to take that step. And hey, let's chart the next 20 years. God gives us that.
The worst thing that can happen if you do this and it doesn't work out, it's been a great time. I tell you, for most women, I want to just say, for most women, you take them out, wine and batter, and put them in a hotel for the night.